Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. How are you guys doing this morning? Hopefully you are having a wonderful day or wonderful morning start to your day. And I pray that your day goes well today. I pray that you have a wonderful and awesome day going forward and a wonderful week, whatever time you're listening to this podcast. So as some of you, I'm also starting my day as well. And so I'll have things that I will be doing as well today. I have work today too as well. So again, just want to kind of, you know, let you know you're not by yourself. I'll be out there working too. So anyway, we are in day 16 of favor, and has been a wonderful devotion and a wonderful series going forward about just having how much God favors us in so many different ways. And so again, this episode is about compassion. It's about God's compassion on us, allowing us access to Him and allowing us, because Jesus in the Bible talks about, well, we learn about compassion, about when, you know, Jesus was at a place where, you know, tons of people or thousands of people were following him. Crowds of people were following him, and he had compassion on them. And we'll see as we read, as you get into this episode, what his compassion compels him to do. And listen, one of the things about it in our world today, we have so many things that are going on in our world. And sometimes we feel as though God doesn't care. We see, you know, we watch the news. We see things that are happening to other people, things that may be happening that you know personally about. And sometimes you may feel as though God doesn't care. But honestly, God does care, and God has compassion too as well. And not all the time, just because God has compassion, that he always acts upon things that we think he should act upon. God is God alone, and he has his reasons for the reasons why he does what he does or does not act upon the things that we think he should. And unfortunately, you know, we will never really know the true answer as to all these questions sometimes until we meet him one day face to face. And even at that time, you know, we'll never know how our understanding will be. Our understanding, you know, of the things that have happened on earth while we was here on earth may not ever be answered. We have no idea. Then again, all things may be revealed to us as we enter into his presence in heaven. So it's just a wonderful thought. Just something that I thought about myself at times. I'm just like some of you. There's times where I watch and I see things and I wonder, man, you know, God, I know you see this, right? But at the same time, we also have to understand that God is sovereign. God knows all. He sees all. And yes, he's not like us. His understanding is not like us. Our understanding is different. Remember, the Bible says this. He says, my ways are not your ways. Matter of fact, my understanding is higher than your understanding. So he can see afar off the distance. He can see the end before the end and the beginning. He can see it all, and he can understand it all. He can understand how the circumstance will change and what will happen in the midst of it. He also understands that what can happen to you today will change for tomorrow or whenever it will be. He knows. And so that's why we serve an awesome God. That's why we serve a God who's wise. He knows things before things will happen. And though things may happen tragically, he also understands why things will happen and must happen. It's all according to the plan of God. Amen. So we just have to rest in the fact that God knows what he's doing at all times. And let us continue to pray to him, adore him, exalt him, and exalt him for the things that he has done for us in our lives. Amen. So hopefully, again, that's something that maybe some of you, you know, rest assured of your concerns and maybe your worries and things. And, you know, God tells us not to worry. And so, you know what? Try not to worry. Try not to worry and have anxiety about what's going on. Amen. So we have to have faith. We have to have faith and we have to have trust. And trust in the Lord is opposite of fear, opposite of anxiety, opposite of worry. Worry, trust and faith. Amen. So anyway, hopefully you have a wonderful and awesome day today. And again, as always, I thank you so much for tuning in to this particular podcast. And you could be listening to other podcasts, but I really appreciate your support and your listening support. Please subscribe to this and share this podcast with others. Let other people know that, you know, that I'm out here and I'm, you know, trying to share the gospel as well. So anyway, thank you again for everything. And I'll be talking to you soon. Sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Podcast. All right. So welcome to another awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. And we are getting into, I would say, the, let's see here, almost lost, day 16. So day 16 of favor. And I think this is going to be a really good episode. This one is, of course, talking about favor. Last time we talked about the favor in different ways. So I want to encourage you guys to just kind of go back and look and listen to some of my previous episodes. I normally always kind of encourage everyone to do that in case you haven't. This has been a pretty lengthy devotional. And this devotional, I want to say it's about 21 days long. We've actually extended it out for actually weeks long. So if it sounds like I've had months of this, it probably has, because not every time I've been able to record. So I want to continue on, though. I don't want to skip over anything. I want to kind of thoroughly go through each day and we talk about it. So I'm hoping that those of you that have been listening faithfully and listening to the recordings, that you're getting something out of it. So I know that these devotionals are very impactful, but it has scripture and we talk about what we're learning from scripture, kind of unpacking some of the things and talking a little bit about it. So that's what we'll have also today too. So I just want to kind of, you know, get, you know, let you guys know that right now. Appreciate everyone that's here listening and has tuned in to this episode. So let's get right into it. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and we're going to begin, instead of beginning at verse 1, we're going to go down to verse 23 and read till the end of this chapter of chapter 21. And it says here, verse 23, Matthew 21, verse 23 says, when Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching and the leading priests and elders came up to him. They demanded, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. If you answer one question, Jesus replied, did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? They talked it over among themselves. If we say it was from heaven, he will ask us why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people believe John was a prophet. So they finally replied, we don't know. And Jesus responded, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 28, but what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, "No, I won't go." But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, "You go," and he said, "Yes, sir, I will," but he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, "The first." Then Jesus explained his meaning. "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." Now listen to another story. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. So the landowner sent a large group of his servants to collect for him, but the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, "Surely they will respect my son." But when the tenant farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, "Here comes the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves." So they grabbed him, dragged him out of the vineyard, and murdered him. When the owner of the vineyard returns, Jesus asks, "What do you think he will do to those farmers?" The religious leaders replied, "He will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest." Then Jesus asked them, "Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit. Anyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone it falls on." When the leading priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds who considered Jesus to be a prophet. Well, this was a very, very good two parables in which Jesus talked to them. And as we go into this, you notice how it started off. It started off with a question, right? Remember, he was teaching in the temple. He began teaching, and then the leading priests and the elders came up to him and they demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right?" See? So this is where the confrontation really happened. It's amazing, though, because, you know, these leading priests and elders at the time, obviously they were following Jesus, just as they were John the Baptist. And I love the fact that Jesus later on, after the parable, he talks about John the Baptist, or before the parable, excuse me. He goes, "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question." Jesus replied, "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human?" Simple question. But again, that question would have not only revealed their motive as to what intellect they had, because first of all, they understood it. They knew that John the Baptist, his authority came from heaven. It was inspired by God. He was inspired to baptize people and to get people to repent and prepare the way of the Lord. Remember, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He didn't have miracles. He didn't do miracles, but he did exactly what he was called to do. And that was to baptize people and to prepare the way. That means to compel the people to repent of their sins, to wash away their sins by being baptized in the Jordan River. Okay. And so John the Baptist was the preparer, and they also, I'm talking about the teachers, the leading priests and the elders at the time, or the Pharisees, they were also ridiculing John the Baptist. I think they were mainly wanting the crowds to still rely on them. And they knew that when John the Baptist came, a lot more people was coming out to the wilderness to be baptized. Remember, they were coming outside of the city. He was in the wilderness. That means that the people had to travel just to get to him. And they noticed that the crowds, which you notice here in both times, they didn't want to answer the questions because of the crowds. And they also understood that they were more afraid of what the crowds thought, because that was their influence. That was who they were influenced by, was the crowds themselves. You see? And not at one point were they ever interested in knowing more about Jesus Christ and him being the fulfillment of what John was doing. John was preparing them for the kingdom of God that was coming. Jesus, when he came as the Messiah, as the messianic ruler of the kingdom, he came and he was there among them, and he preached about the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is now among you. And people like the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of religious law, they missed it. They missed it. Why? Because they only seen just the human flesh or the human person in front of them, and they did not embrace him as the messianic Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. They didn't embrace him as that. They missed his visit. They missed the visitation of the most important individual. And this is why later on, as you read about the parables and how he predicted and showed about the son that was murdered by the farmers, which he compared that to the son, which was the cornerstone that would be used to bring the foundation of the kingdom of God to the earth, being rejected ultimately by the same ones that was asking for what authority does he preach in. And they were the very ones. Not only did they miss it, but they were also rejected. And this is why the parable was so fitting for them. And they understood. They understood that this was about them, that they knew that he was talking about them and saying that in this parable, this is where you fit in. You're the ones that will reject me, and you're the ones that, because you have rejected me, I will go further than even beyond here. And the message of the kingdom of God will be spread throughout the entire world. Amen. And so, and it was beautiful how he put this parable, because toward the end, he says how wonderful it is that, you know, basically how this plan will play out. And because you rejecting this, this is what he says here later on in, I want to say in verse, it looks like in verse 42, he says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. Isn't that awesome to know that even in the midst of someone rejecting Jesus or what have you, it plays into the entire plan of salvation, and it plays right into it. So even in the midst of them, of Jesus being rejected, it is also for a greater purpose. Amen. And so I thought this was a really awesome This was a really awesome dialogue, but it was also shows the hypocrisy of the religious leaders at the time. And you notice here, he says the religious leaders replied, he will put wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him a share of the crop after each harvest. You notice, and this is out of verse 41 of Matthew 21. And so these religious leaders understood that. Okay. They basically, Jesus read them up one side and down the other. So what does this have to do with favor? Okay. What does this have to do with favor? One of the things that we have to understand is that one of the things that God had intentionally wanted to do has always been to grant us salvation, to you and I, as you're listening to this and as I'm explaining this, we all have to understand that we are the engrafted ones. If you're not if you're not a Jew from that time of Jerusalem, we are considered Gentiles. We are the adopted ones. We are the ones that have gained the favor of the Lord, basically, okay, to receive salvation. Remember, all of what we are reading in the Bible has taken place from the Middle East, from that part of the world, and that many years ago, before all of us, I'm sure all of us have been born. Okay. And these stories and these events have taken place before we came to the knowledge of this. And so, yes, it is praise be unto God that God has granted us salvation. And we see the unfolding of these events and how it's happened years ago in order for where we're at now today. Amen. So this is a kind of a starting point to our discussion here, and how the result of the rejection of Jesus Christ basically started not just with Jesus, but also with John the Baptist. What we can learn from this is that the teachers of religious law, or the Pharisees, they call them in the Bible, they call them the Pharisees and the hype and the leading priests. And it's a shame. Let me stop right here and say this. It's a shame that it was the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, or the leading priests. It's shameful because they had the Old Testament scriptures, they had the prophecies in front of them. In other words, they were able to go back and read the books of Moses, which was the patriarchs, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob. They understood those. They also read the books of Psalms from David. So, and they had the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah. They had these great books that have already been written. I'm not sure how they were published or passed down from that generation to that time, but they had time. Remember, they were leading priests and they were Pharisees, so they had time to study and they had time to have their minds illuminated and open. And this is a big problem with some of us that become too religious. These individuals, and you would look at this and like I just was thinking, how shameful it was that they didn't see Jesus there. They didn't understand who they were talking to. They didn't accept was brought to some kind of revelation that this is the Messiah. This is the one that has been told in the Old Testament, the Old Testament books that they have been reading, whether they were books or scrolls or what have you, what they had. It's really a sad thing that they have missed his presence that was among them. And so even though, and this is why this is so important, that we as believers in these days that we have now, we have the entire book. We have the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. So we have the entire revelation in front of us, so to speak. Revelation meaning the revealing of everything. So we have no excuse. We also have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ. We have that already. We have the blood that was shed for us. So we, you and I, now at this point have no excuse to not have a salvation that was already prepared and done for us. Amen. Let's go into the next one here. Next verse. I'm a double back on it in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Okay, let's read that one more time. It says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." This is such an awesome and wonderful verse. I think that this is something that you want to highlight and you want to memorize, because think about it. This is an invitation to come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. First of all, God is royalty. God is awesome. He is the king. He is the ruler. He is the ruler of all things that he alone has created. You and I have been created not only by him, but in his likeness, in his image. So now we can come boldly. You notice that what it says, the description is not timidly, not with your head hung down, not fearful, like you're afraid to come to him. Like, you know, if you ever remember the story or the movie I used to watch, The Wizard of Oz, and how the cowardly lion was afraid to come to the wizard, even though it wasn't who it was. Really, we know that now after looking at that. But you see how scared and how fearful he was to come before him. Well, that's the same thing. We don't have to be fearful. We can come boldly. That, you know, boldly also means not so much like with arrogance, but boldly means that we can come because we have a relationship with God. We should not fear. We are his children. There's a verse of scripture where it says that in our spirit, because our spirit should be connected with God's spirit, that we can come to him and cry out, "Abba, Father." That means that to our daddy. Abba Father means also like daddy. When's the last time you ever considered your father and you call him either dad or you call him daddy? That's considered more than just a father or formality, but of intimacy, of closeness. And that's the same thing that we have here. It says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our" what? "Our gracious God." That means he's full of grace. He's full of mercy. You see that? It says, "There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Whatever you're going through right now, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever it is, we can come boldly, clearly to our Father, to our daddy, and we will receive not only his mercy, but grace to help us. And that's favor. That's favor. So even as we're looking at the theme of this, of being favor, because like we just read out of Matthew 12 about us being able to receive and be beneficiaries of this wonderful, wonderful relationship through Jesus Christ. Okay. And now we can now come boldly to this throne of grace, okay, of a gracious God. Amen. This is so awesome. So we're going to take a quick little break and we're going to come right back with more scripture to read. Don't go nowhere. Stay tuned as we take a quick little fast little commercial break and we'll be right back. All right. So welcome back. So let's get into the next verse here of scripture. And it simply says this here. This is a portion out of Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And it says here, "Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." Let's kind of read more into that. Let's go to possibly maybe chapter 14, verse 13, excuse me. And he says here, it says, Jesus feeds 5,000, okay? This is a moment where he fed 5,000 people, and it was this was a obviously a miracle that had happened, and we'll see why and as we read this. So in verse 13, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary." He says, "You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. I wanted to kind of go a little bit further into this on purpose, intentionally, because I wanted us to see the compassion in which Jesus was operating in. Remember, he didn't just come here and just decide to just give you something and that was it. Jesus was also human. So in other words, he was a God man. He had the compassion, and don't get me wrong, God himself really does have compassion. Some of us may not think or may not recognize during our trials or tribulations, during times when you may have something going on in your life, that God doesn't have compassion, but he really truly does. And this was just an example of where Jesus had compassion on them. Remember, it specifically talks about here that as soon as Jesus had heard the news, and the news was really talking about something further back. We'll have to read more into this. It said later John's disciples came to his for his. Okay, so if you read back, I'm sorry, I kind of was kind of glancing back at this, that there is a story following this. So you have to go back, you know, later on, you have to go back into the earlier part of Matthew 14. But again, this is actually talking about Jesus feeding 5,000 people and how the people, they followed him and they had need. So in other words, they were listening to him. They were listening to the message that he was preaching about, but he was also healing people. And these people, you know, imagine you being in this crowd and you are suffering with something and needing to be healed, needing Jesus to touch you, okay, to put his hands on you, to pray for you, right? And so these people were doing whatever it takes to at least get a glimpse or a just within a distance. There was a lady that was suffering with an issue of blood. This is a powerful story, and how she was trying to get close enough to Jesus in order just to touch the hem of the garment he was wearing. And she believed by faith that if she just touched the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. That was her belief. That was her faith. And that faith itself, because she understood the power and the anointing in which Jesus was operating in, she already knew, she had faith enough to understand that if I can just get close enough to this man and touch his garment, just touch his robe, that I will be healed. And so imagine the desperation that these people had, where, as you know, Jesus himself left in a boat to a remote area just to be alone. But it says, but the crowds heard where he was headed and they followed on foot from many towns. It specifically talks about that, from many towns. And then when Jesus saw the crowd, you know, one thing about it, Jesus was probably tired. Okay, we got to remember what condition Jesus was in. He wasn't Superman. But yet he was operating under the power and anointing of his Father. Okay. And he was also carrying the limitations of the human body. That means he got tired. He got tired. He got weary. And so he went away to be alone. He went away. He had to recuperate. He probably had to pray. And a part of him saw the crowds, and he was very compassionate. And he says on them, and he healed their sick. Okay, so he was constantly, can you imagine? And this is why I say that this is so important now, that you and I become more disciples of Christ, so that we too can do the things that Christ has done. That means we can touch people, we can heal people, we can pray for people. I'm not talking about supernaturally. I'm just simply saying that we need to be able to avail ourselves to do the things that Christ has done, because Christ was only one person. And he can only, because he was in the limitations of man, which means that we now can multiply by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can begin to operate in obedience to God, which hopefully will bring us to a place where we can do the things that God would want us to do. And it's more of us to do that. Amen. So the compassion that he had is what the theme of this, and he healed them. Okay. But beyond that, he fed them and was able to perform this miracle from God himself, where God basically opened up the heavens and multiplied the bread just by him simply praying and asking God to basically multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish. Isn't that amazing? This was a miracle. He told them to bring the people to him, and the people came, and the disciples helped bring the people closer to Jesus so that they can at least be fed, have natural nourishment, not just physical healing, but nourishment. And they were weary as well. So I thought that was pretty amazing story. So with that being said, let's continue on to the next scripture out of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, and it says, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we can be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." So we've read about Jesus confronting the teachers of religious law, the leading priests. Okay. And the Pharisees, we heard about that. We saw that. We saw him confront them with the parable and show them where they would be by rejecting him. Okay. That was the first thing we saw. Then we turned around and we saw him. We saw where we can come boldly, thanks to the things that was happening. We can now come boldly to God because of what the Pharisees have rejected, the teachers of religious law have rejected. Now that we can now, you and I can now, as Gentiles, come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can access God in ways that we wouldn't have never been able to access. We also see now where Jesus himself had compassion, though he was doing everything he possibly could, but he had compassion on those. And remember, we just got through reading, God is a God of grace and mercy. And now Jesus himself has been compassion and feeding those people and healing their sick, even though I'm sure he was also weary and body was basically was tired. Now we're reading in Isaiah 53. And remember, I told you that then the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, this was one of the books that they had access to understand some of this prophecy that will come forth. In other words, what would come, an event that will come in front of them. And so this is one of the verses that a lot of us, we preach in church, and you hear this in church a lot of times. It says, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we can be whole, and he was whipped so we can be healed." This is a time, this was written before Christ came. This was written before the crucifixion of Christ. And this is definitely a description of all the physical things that had happened to him before the execution, the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. This was told by the prophet Isaiah. And this here is something that we've preached this a lot of times in church. And this was showing us what the reason for the physical bruises and the beating and the being pierced in the side. This was for our sins. This was the payment of you and my sins. I'm using incorrect English here, but for our sins, okay? Things that are sin nature. And this is where it comes down to. And this is why, again, this fits in the realm of this topic today of favor. Favor meaning that God had compassion on us. Remember, Jesus had compassion on the people. He healed them. He fed them. And ultimately, he died for our sins. Listen, everything that has happened in these three different segments of verses has happened so that we can come together in a culmination of bringing us salvation, of what we need and what mankind needs. Amen. So this is a powerful just a powerful explanation of almost the gospel, but also the compassion, but some of the character of God, some of the character of Jesus Christ and how he operated in. Amen. So we're going to take a quick short break on this one here, and we're going to be right back. We're going to be right back to the last part of our devotion, which will be about the devotional part. So we're going to take a quick break and just hold fast, and we will be right back. So welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and we are going to come to the conclusion of this. And so hopefully you guys enjoyed this recording, this episode so far on favor and just how awesome that basically how God has provided salvation for us. You know, how wonderful that is. And we've seen several devotions regarding favor when it comes to salvation and everything. And, you know, again, sometimes we think of favor in so many different ways, but we never see it as in a way how God has provided it through the Bible, as we show how Jesus was rejected by those that were around him at that time in that day, and how his salvation was for the entire world. And we are beneficiaries of his wonderful grace. And this is why the verse is really, that verse that we read was so good about how we can boldly come to the throne of grace. We can boldly come to the throne of grace of our God of grace, and not have to worry about go between to get to God, right? And so many times we forget that how much access that we now have to a wonderful, awesome God. Years ago in the Bible, we read where they had the Holy of Holies, the temple that was built in the Old Testament, and how only the priest was able to go in and talk to God. It was only the priests that were able to talk to him and go through the inner court, and then from the inner court to the Holy of Holies. And he had to be consecrated before entering in, so that he can go there and do intercession. And intercession and sacrifices for the people of Israel. Now, you and I, just just from where we're at, from your bedroom, from even in your car, you can enter into the Holy of Holies, which is basically the presence of God. You know, and so think about that. Think about that when you're in your prayer time, that you're just not just praying just to hear your voice. You're actually going into the Holy of Holies. You're actually approaching the throne of God, or in the throne room of God. And I think that if we think of it in that way, we will understand more importantly how to approach God. God has never changed. He's always been the same. He's been the same God that we've read in the Bible, and he's the same today. So just want to kind of throw that in there a little bit. We're going to end this devotion with a little bit from the top portion of it. It says, "Our God is full of compassion. Jesus wants to make you whole. The fullness of his favor in your life will heal you. Your body, your mind, your emotions, every part of you. Approach him today with your need. Be bold in your request, because the blood of Jesus that marks your faith, ask him to touch you with his favor and with his healing power. Believe that he can and will answer your prayer, and receive it in faith." Again, what an awesome benefit that we now have. See, it's not just so much that we get to go to heaven. It's what we have now. It's what we have, the access that we have now. And not just the access, but the relationship that we now have in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. It is because of the sacrifice of Jesus, the death on the cross, that we now have access to the throne of God. And I think that's pretty amazing. And I also feel as though that we should never forget and never think it just common that we can just pray and things will happen or things will answer. This is why I say that there should be a time where you set aside time when you're praying to the Lord, to make that a time of a special time. Never a time where you have to pray and rush off somewhere. I know I've been guilty of that myself. There's been times where I've been really busy, or my wife and I were headed out the door to go to work, and sometimes we have a quick prayer. And I do understand there are times like that, but there's also times I feel like that, you know, you just want to just close off everything, turn the television off, turn whatever it is off, you know, social media or whatever, and just get into a space where you and the Lord can pray. And even if it's a time where you just want to glorify God, you want to praise him, you want to tell him how much you appreciate him for everything he's done in your life, I think those are awesome prayers. I think those are times where you don't have to ask him for anything. You just want to say, "Hey, God, I just want to let you know how much I love you, how much I adore you, I appreciate you, I appreciate everything you have done for me and my family, and just for things like that in general." So just remember that. So again, praise God for favor, right? Praise God for the favor of healing, of access to the Lord, and favor for just the sacrifice that he has made for us. Amen. So again, I just appreciate the time that you spent with me, and we got a few more days of this favor to go through, and who knows how much more what the Lord has for us. I believe this has been an excellent and awesome series that we've been going through, and so again, thank you for your time, thank you for sticking with me, and I'll talk to you soon. Talk to you next time. God bless you and your family.